Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Humat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
I just have been racking my brain. I just don't know what we're going to be able to talk about today.
I don't know. What is a topic of common interest? Somehow crowns, coronas come to mind.
Oh, but you have such...
Such brilliance, I know, brilliance. I know. I tell myself that daily.
That's right. Welcome, everybody. Glad you are here. I guess I just want to make one thing really clear. This is obviously live call-in radio.
It is.
And I've got Dr. Mixon with me here in the studio again today. And I just want you to know that we're going to take two types of calls. Obviously, we're going to talk about the coronavirus. No question about it. We need to do that. But we also want you to know that if you have questions about other health issues,
please feel free to call.
Yes. Definitely.
Don't. This is not the coronavirus hour.
That's right.
Or the coronavirus 2 hours or whatever.
4 hours. Yeah. Four hours of live radio. It can't all be about the coronavirus, even though there are some things we do have to talk about. Good and bad things still on the horizon. So let me give out the toll free number and you can call about anything. So here you go, 800-465-8770. All the lines are open now, by the way, so you might want to get in line. 800-465-8770. And again, you can talk about anything you like. So first, however, what's on your mind, Sir Mixon, as it relates to the most fascinating aspects of the latest developments of the virus?
Medically or socially? Because I divide those.
Well, that's
medically, it appears to me that coronavirus infections are actually three separate subgroups. The best group are the majority of people who get infected and don't even know they were infected. The virus comes in, the immune system handles it, pushes it down, maybe you get a little sniffle or a little achy or tired for a day, and that's it. And you never knew you had the infection.
3 or 4 weeks ago, you had a cold and you were coughing and what have you. You might have had it.
Might have had it. In fact, my wife and I suspect that that we did, but we would have fallen now into the second group.
Okay.
The second group are people whose immune systems are not quite good enough to completely suppress the virus. And so we get a clinical illness. You run a fever, or you get a cough, you get a runny nose, some people get a little loose stool or abdominal cramping, some altered sensation, and you're sick for 3 or 4 days, and over the course of the next week or so, it fades away. Your immune system gets on top of it, you make the virus go away, and you're fine.
Just like the typical flu.
Yeah. Then there is a third group in which your immune system is not competent to rapidly suppress the virus, and you get really sick. You get sick enough that you have to go to the hospital for a while, okay? And you may even need some extra oxygen and so on. And those people are quite sick, and they are, you know, maybe 4% of the diagnosed cases, recognizing that there are more undiagnosed than diagnosed cases. And so you get a subset of people that actually get sick enough to need hospitalization. And then I guess I should have made this the fourth group. You got fourth group people that get a really abnormal immune response. They get sick to start with, but then their immune system overreacts. They kick out so much in the way of killer cells and T cells and destructive inflammatory cells that they start destroying their own lungs and kidneys. These are the people that end up going on ventilators. And 80% of them will die even with a ventilator. So only 2 out of 10 will survive if they have this sort of inflammatory overreaction.
Yeah.
And in those cases, it's not the virus per se that kills them. It's their own immune system overreacting to the virus. See, so most people's immune response just reacts like they do to some. But for some reason, there is a small subset of people, about 1 or 2%, 1 or 2 out of 100, who will overreact. And the damage primarily is not done so much by the virus, but by their own immune response to the virus. And in some ways, it's kind of analogous to the valvular heart disease that used to be caused by strep throats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kids would get a strep throat, they'd have a sore throat for a few days, and then they end up with a heart murmur because they end up with a leaky heart valve. Because their immune system, in the process of attacking that streptococcus bacteria in their throat, also made antibodies that would attack part of their heart valve. They're apparently the bacterium and some people's heart valve share some protein sort of loci. And so a sore throat ended up causing these kids to get, we called it rheumatic heart disease.
Okay.
Same sort of thing, only in spades. Instead of just giving you a leaky heart valve, it kills you. In those people, treating the virus doesn't help much. Because it's not the virus that's doing the problem anymore. What's killing them is their immune system. And the best treatment for that seems to be immune modulators of some sort, some way to go in and calm down their immune system before the lungs are totally destroyed. Once the lungs are destroyed, you're toast. So, you know, late stage people on a ventilator probably have the least responsiveness to any therapy.
Yeah.
If you're going to give them any chance, what you really want to do with those people is damp down the immune response. And that's where Dr. Nelson was talking about the stem cell therapies.
Mm-hmm.
Israel has a company called something, I forget, Stem something. And they've actually taken a mesenchymal stem cell and they have modified it somewhat. They grow it in the lab, amplify it like we can't do in America, and they infuse it intravenously. And they have treated modest number, 25, 30 ventilator dependent, super sick people, and none of them died.
Ooh. Really?
Yeah. It went from an 80% fatality rate to a 0% fatality rate because their stem cells were able to kick out enough immune modulating anti-inflammatory cytokines and peptides that none of their patients died.
Holy moly.
That was pretty dramatic. But notice the focus wasn't on killing the virus.
Mm-hmm.
The focus was on
suppressing,
putting in an anti-inflammatory, anti-destructive agent, that is the mesenchymal stem cells. And as it turns out, when you infuse mesenchymal stem cells intravenously, you know, people are doing it saying, well, we want to treat your arthritis or your,
yeah.
Well, 95% of them get caught in the lungs. They don't go any further.
Oh, okay.
But that's okay, because in this case, that's exactly where you want them.
That's right.
So,
interesting.
Yeah. So I guess I've got to modify 4 groups. The asymptomatic people who never get sick, the people who get sick but throw it off in a few days to a week, the people whose immune system doesn't handle it very well and they get sick enough they need hospitalization, and then the fourth group, the people whose immune system overreacts dramatically. And the immune system's what kills them.
So how do you know if you've got a good immune system?
Well, if you get exposed to the virus and you don't get sick.
Well, no, I'm talking about right now, people
you don't.
Sitting at home.
We don't know why. Why do some people react? You know, the best correlation we got right now is youth and fitness. The younger you are, the less chance you have of getting an overreactive immune system. Most children don't get very sick if they get sick at all. Most fit young people, if they get sick at all, throw it off pretty fast. The fatter you are, the more chance you're going to die. If you're diabetic, you have a higher chance of dying. If you have heart disease, you have a higher chance of dying. And the older you are, you have a higher chance of dying. So obesity is the biggest single thing. And that's, you know, and fitness, yes. You want to be lean and fit. But, you know, that's true for most of life.
Well, yeah.
lean, fit people die from a lot fewer things.
And I guess this is why we are having such a wonderful response to our latest offer, because you've been saying for years that longevity, our goal is to make you stronger, leaner, faster, smarter, and sexier.
Yes.
Those are all freaky good things.
If you're going to get coronavirus.
From a preventive perspective.
Yes. And which now brings me to some of the social political stuff.
Okay.
Although.
No, we're good. Remember. We're good. We got 3-4 more minutes.
Okay. I saw an article. So some moron at one of the progressive newspapers was attacking the Surgeon General.
Yeah.
As being racially insensitive.
Oh, gee.
Now, I'd like to point out, he's a middle-aged black man. All right. And what he said was that African-Americans, because they are the fattest population in America and because they have more diabetes than anyone else in America.
That's just a fact.
That's an objective fact.
Yeah.
And they have the highest mortality rate. They die the most from this virus. The question, of course, is this genetic, you know, connected to their ancestry, or is this because if the preponderance of people of African ancestry live in the South? And the South has been known for decades among doctors as the stroke belt.
Or the fat belt.
Well, yeah. They go together.
Yeah.
The fattest people in America live in the Deep South because the diet and the lifestyle and the heat and humidity mean that they're sedentary much of the time. They, you know, and when you're eating grits and corn and fatback and, you know, traditional Southern dishes, you gain a lot of weight. And since the majority, you know, the preponderance of those states are, in fact, of African ancestry, then they're going to be
So the liberals were accusing our
black Surgeon General of being a bigot, because he pointed out that this disease is hitting African ancestry people harder than it is Asians and Caucasians. And it's not race per se, it's weight. And weight leads to arthritis and diabetes and cognitive decline and heart disease, and weight is the killer. So what are you going to do? We're kind of stuck with that.
This is crazy. Okay. Very, very interesting. I'll tell you what, we're going to go to a break right now, but heads up, we got a little EAS test coming up that the station has to do legally every so often, and it just so happens it has to happen right now. But in the meantime, we'll get through this little audio test, and you can call us at 800-465-8770 and get in line, but we will be back. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine.
Leading Edge Medicine.
Leading Edge Medicine. For the first time in history, you can choose how to age. Call with your question at 1-800-465-8770.
That's 800-465-8770.
Okay, not exactly sure what was going on there, but I think some sort of
maybe test. That was the test.
Maybe that was the test.
Just we couldn't hear it.
That's right. Maybe you and I. Okay, that's right. Okay.
It's a conspiracy. They don't want us to know.
Okay, you're talking about
Yeah,
well, we all
here's your short-term all, memory test. What were we talking
that's
about?
That's right. We're going to talk about the fat belt, and
oh yes, yeah, and, yeah. And the difference in correlation and causation. Yeah, we pointed out that
our Surgeon General is not a racist.
No, he's not a racist. He's also, if I understand properly, a believing fundamentalist Christian.
Okay.
But if you're going to use correlation as causation, which is what that newspaper was doing, then you'd also have to say that Christianity causes coronavirus deaths.
Also.
Because that stroke belt down in the Deep South is also the Bible Belt.
You're right.
And so, you know, there's an awful lot of Bible-thumping firm believers down there, and a lot of those firm believers are indeed blacks. Okay, there's an enormous number of churches down there. And so, yes, so if you're going to say that because more Christians of every race, you know, die from the coronavirus, then it must be Christianity. Yeah. Of course, it's because those Christians are in the Bible Belt, which is also the stroke belt because of the diet and the lifestyle.
Well, I guess I'm partially to blame. Wow.
It's all your fault, Pete.
Okay. All right. I knew you'd enjoy putting this on me. Okay. Yeah. I just want to share something also real quickly because I have heard, you know, we do a lot with supplements and things mm-hmm. like that at Longevity Medical Clinic. And it's interesting that supplement sales are just screaming.
Everybody's looking for ways to avoid the illness, and supplements are...
All of a sudden, everybody thinks, well, maybe now I better get healthy. The trick is, the sooner the better.
The sooner the better.
The sooner the better. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that during the break, there was a new ad in there, and last Saturday, I introduced the fact that, yes, we're getting a lot of requests for our health analysis appointments. And so what we decided to do, we've made some really interesting shifts so that we can accommodate and encourage our listeners to take advantage of our free health analysis appointment. In fact, for the month of April, we opened a batch new health analysis appointment time slots at all three of our clinics. And for the month of April, if you come in for your free health analysis appointment, we are not only giving you the two free tests, but we're giving you a $100 coupon that is good for our longevity supplements. And that is pretty cool. So there's really never been a better time. But Bia and Jessica and Michelle, they've been working really hard this last week to shift around some things, and we're now able to handle more of the free health analysis appointments than we've done in the past. So here's the deal. If you would, maybe your friend saying, well, Amy, this is really a good time for me to get serious. You've been meaning to get serious. You've been procrastinating. I understand that problem. Well, now's the time to do it, because you not only get the two free tests, but like I said, you get the $100 worth of the longevity supplements. So it's quite the incentive. And as we talked about, all you have to do is make your appointment online. That's what 95% of the people do. You can call us at our clinics, but most people simply go to lmclinic.com. And right on our homepage, you cannot miss it. It discusses the health analysis appointments, the fact that they're free, what the two tests are, etc. Plus, as of this morning, there's a little thing right there. I think it's in a red circle that talks about the $100 worth of free longevity supplements. Never done that before, but it's just a little way for us to help you make it as easy as possible. So go to lmclinic.com and schedule one of those. We don't have that many. It's not like we have unending. In fact, I think in the month of April, we have 7 appointments only. That's the biggest negative. In Kirkland, only 7. I think we have 15 in Tacoma and 17 in Linwood, but only 7 in Kirkland. But that's okay. The other thing that Michelle, our operations manager, wanted to make clear is that if you can't find the perfect appointment in the clinic that you choose. Let's say you live up north in Linwood. Well, you'd obviously want to do years in Linwood. But if you can't find one that is perfect for you there, you can do the free health analysis appointment in Kirkland or Tacoma or whatever. So, and then if for some reason you then decide to actually become a patient, then you do your follow-up at the clinic that is close.
Although more likely they would not be able to get their space in Kirkland because we got fewer spaces.
That's true.
So you might have to drive to Linwood for your HA, and then you come to Kirkland to get your care.
That would have been a better example, yes.
Of course it would have been, but I came up with it.
Anyway, go to lmclinic.com, and for goodness sakes, if you realize, I mean, come on, if you've heard this show, I'm going to say it. If you want to be stronger, leaner, faster, smarter, sexier, Longevity Medical Clinic is the ultimate preventive medical clinic.
That's right.
So there you go.
Do we have a call waiting?
We have one, but you wanted to follow through on one thought. What was that?
Well, there's a lot of stuff about coronavirus. Yeah, let's grab a call then.
And by the way, we still got a couple of lines open, so we'll.
Besides, if there's any way possible, I'm going to segue her call towards whatever it is I want to talk about anyway.
Sounds good.
Go ahead.
Let's go to Lacey and talk with Marcy.
Hello, Marcy.
Hi.
Hi.
I've been listening to you for. Well, I'm 78 years old and I'm fairly healthy.
Good.
And I was diagnosed with about a year and a half ago with excess platelets and that big long name ET, and right. I don't know how to pronounce it. And they got me on hydroxyurea for about a year and a half, and it took my platelets down.
Uh-huh.
And I get my blood tests. About every 2 months.
Good.
And my numbers have all been good.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering, is there any other therapy that besides this hydroxyurea that maybe is on the market that my doctor doesn't know about or something?
All right. Probably not. I presume you're being treated by a hematologist.
Yes.
Thrombocytosis is what you're talking about, where you,
yes,
your bone marrow makes too many platelets.
Right.
And, platelets are kind of interesting little structures. You know, we make hundreds of thousands of these things at a time, anywhere from, 200,000 up to 400,000 or 500,000 at times. And it can vary. Your platelet count can vary in a matter of 20 minutes. Depending on the stimulus and how much physical stress you're under and exercise and injuries and other health factors. But platelets contain 9 different growth factors. And what they're designed for is that we all break little blood vessels all the time. We have fragile little capillaries and fragile little venules, tiny little blood vessels. And we get bumped and we get joggled and, we fall down and we rupture small vessels all the time. It probably happens to us each a dozen times a day. And what happens is when there's a break in the vessel, the platelets go to that break. They aggregate, they kind of bond together and form a patch to prevent the blood from leaking out. And that happens very, very quickly. And then as the platelets start, once they've got the bleeding stopped, they start releasing these growth factors. They start rupturing and releasing. And they cause these vessels to grow and heal and repair very, very quickly. And that's what platelets are all about. We have thrombocytopenia, in which people don't make enough platelets. And they tend to bleed when they shouldn't bleed. And there's the thrombocytosis. Again, you make too many platelets and you are at higher risk of clotting because you got too many of these things that want to aggregate and form a patch, and they can form patches and clots where we don't want them to. And so that's your problem. And the reason I'm expanding on all this is because we have a lot of listeners who A, had no idea what a platelet was, and
that's
B, didn't know why having too many was a problem. Okay, so I'm trying to educate 30-some thousand people right now. Okay, so bear with me, sweetie.
I have a girlfriend that she has just the opposite, like you said. And then when I first got this, I went and asked him. I said, "Well, why can't I just give them away? You know, like they do." And she says, "Well, right. They're no good."
That's right. There. Yeah.
And so my next question was, what is my chances? How does my immune system? As long as my numbers are good and I get the blood test, how is it affecting the rest of my body? I mean,
what this is telling us is that your bone marrow, you know, has kind of lost track of what it should be producing. It's making more platelets than you really need. That's okay. We can lower platelet counts easily enough, and you're on the appropriate medication for that. And so I'd have no quibbles there. What we worry, and one of the reasons they want you to come in and get checked from time to time, is that once your bone marrow starts becoming what we call dysplastic, that is, it is making things it shouldn't make, we don't want it to go ahead and start making too many white blood cells, leukocytes, because then we're moving into leukemia. All right. And so anytime your bone marrow is doing stuff we don't want it to do, we need to just be cautious and watch carefully to make sure it's not going to do other more serious things that it shouldn't be doing. All right.
Mm-hmm. I haven't caught any colds for a long time, and I haven't been sick or nothing. So
good for you.
I guess.
And because you and I are both old enough to be in that high risk group, let's stay away from the coronavirus if we can, shall we?
Well, I have been. I've been staying home, being a good girl. So
good for you.
Me and the dog.
All right.
Okay. Well, I've been going to call you for a long, long time because all I had talked to is that one doctor, and I listen to you almost every Saturday, and you have a wonderful program, and I finally got on.
So. Well, good. All right.
There you go,
Marcy. Well, thank you for the call, my dear. Bye-bye. Okay. I wasn't able to segue that into the coronavirus that I wanted to talk about, but I'm just going to take a minute while we get another call.
Are we waiting for another call? No, we're good.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me call because I think there's some openings. I'm sitting here looking over across at his notepad that's not filled up.
I know things that you don't.
Well, that's true. It's fair.
Screen,
you know things I don't.
But I will say, okay, call because we do have some lines open. Right. He is right. 800-465-8770.
Okay, because you're usually jotting on your little notepad if
there's
people waiting.
Well, I'm doing three things here, and I'll tell you about the other one.
Multitasking.
We've got
Good
Dr. Michael Gilbert, who's got a question, and I said, well, don't do it on email. Call. So
yes,
anyway,
okay.
Go ahead.
That subgroup of undiagnosed people, that's important. You know, we said that there's a lot of kids get infected and don't get sick at all.
Right.
And that's true about most teenagers, too. Very few children and teens get sick enough that they ever know they're sick. And there's been a couple of interesting small studies that, and one big one in works that I really am going to want to follow over the next few weeks. In northern Italy, up in the Lombardy region where they had a big, big problem with the coronavirus, they needed blood. So they called and had people come in to donate blood. And they did not take anybody who had been sick. They would only take people that were healthy and had never caught the virus. And when they had 60 people come in, and the first 60 people that came in, they took their blood, but they also tested it for coronavirus antibodies to see if by chance any of these 60 had been infected.
Okay.
40 of the 60 had antibody.
Holy moly.
So 40%, or I'm sorry, 60%, 40 of the 60 people had been infected and never knew it.
Isn't that amazing?
Now, that is a fascinating, because if 60% of our population carries antibodies and is unlikely to ever get sick again, we're in Fat City. Let's open up the businesses, go back to work, and make some cash, guys. On the other hand, other small studies, a small study in Germany that looked at a couple of hundred people, only found 15% of the population, of the asymptomatic population, carried antibodies.
Come on, why is that?
And a third study only showed 17% had the antibody. So we've got wildly discordant numbers. In Lombardy, where the infection was rampant, 60% of the population that had not been sick had antibodies. In Germany, it was 15 to 17%. So, okay. But even let's take that lower number. Let's say that 16%, we'll split the difference between 15 and 17%. 16% of Washington State, let's guess, has been infected without knowing it. In our 5 million people in the state, that means about 800,000 of us are immune to the disease and don't know it. Wouldn't that be nice to know? So in France, they get their national blood bank gets about 7,000 blood donations a week. And they are going to be testing, starting this coming week, testing everybody that donates blood for coronavirus antibody.
Right.
And they want to find out. So at 7,000 a week, we'll get a very good snapshot of France. And then they're going to recheck it every other week to see if it's going up, going down, staying stable. So they want to see what's happening to the immune population of France. Interestingly, American blood banks don't check anybody. None of our blood banks are checking anybody for coronavirus antibodies.
Why would they not do that?
Well, I hear the music. I'll tell you why. There's a sort of good reason that we'll explain right after this break.
Okay. You teaser, you. All right. Don't go far. We've got several people on hold, but including Dr. Michael Gilbert, who has a question or two and a comment or two. So we'll get to him and then Ron and Warren, and don't go far. 800-465-8770. Don't go far. All right, 37 minutes past the hour. I just want to make another little point here. You heard the announcement during the break about our free health analysis appointments. We're calling it a gift card. We did in the ad when I wrote the ad, but it's really not a gift card. That's a technical term. It's really a coupon. It's not that big of a deal. It's the same thing. If you make a free health analysis appointment, you get $100 worth of longevity supplements, and I think that's why there's been the increase. This is for April only.
You mean people want free money?
Yeah.
What a shocking concept!
That's right. That's right. It's a long story. Anyway, it's a when you make your free health analysis appointment, you come in the month of April. You not only get the two free tests, that remains the same, but you also get $100 worth of longevity supplements. And we have quite a few to choose from, so obviously there'll be something in there that you would enjoy. Simply make your appointment by going to lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. It's easy, easy, easy to do. There's a limited number of them, only 7 in Kirkland, I think about 14 or 15 in Tacoma, about the same number in Linwood. So snag them now, grab them now, and in the month of April, pick up $100 worth of longevity supplements. You can count on them being the very best. All right. Hey, we do have Dr. Michael Gilbert. Good morning, Michael, to you, sir.
Good morning, Michael.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
Hey,
thank you very much. What a just, fabulous program, and I'm anxious to hear more about antibodies. It's certainly one of the interesting treatment possibilities. So as soon as we get a better understanding of how to grow them or how to develop them within the population, and is there a possibility of transfusing them to the most desperate of our patients?
Well, and of course there are. That is
right.
Being done, you know, for the people that are very, very sick. They're taking, in fact, there has been a call out for people that have had clinically significant coronavirus recovered.
To contribute
their blood so that they can, you know, they can get the antibodies from them and give it to the sickest.
So I have to say that I am just, it's amazing how much I would be willing to pay right now to be able to take a test to find out if I've got the antibody.
I can order that for you Monday morning.
You can.
We actually have a company that has contacted us that is doing antibody tests. I don't know what they're charging yet because I'm waiting another week.
Don't tell them, but I don't care. I want to know if I can fight it.
All right, but here's the point. As of about 10 days ago, 29 companies had developed antibody tests and had done internal validations. In other words, they had tested to see that it doesn't just pick any old coronavirus, because 30% of the upper respiratory infections in America are caused by
a coronavirus.
So it has to be specific that it finds this particular coronavirus, and it had to be sensitive in that it picked up well over 90%. 29 labs as of 10 days ago had done internal validation saying we are now confident we can do it. They have submitted it to the FDA.
Mm-hmm.
In many countries, if a lab has done its internal validation, they are allowed to start using it. Not in America.
Okay. Really?
No. In America, we had to submit it. They have to submit it to the FDA. The FDA is double checking their work. The FDA is checking for sensitivity and specificity.
Okay.
The FDA has said that by the end of this coming week or early in the next week, multiple platforms will be approved and released.
Okay.
So they're getting close of doing multiples.
Well, you said you could order it for
there
me Monday.
There is one company has jumped the gun. They have not yet received the FDA double check, but they have done their internal validation, and they are comfortable enough they're trying to sell it to doctors and say, doctor, we will check your patients for a price.
Are they breaking the law?
No. No, but they have some legal risk in that if the test misses somebody and tells them that they are resistant and it turns out they're not and they up and die, I can promise you a lot of lawyers will be trying to eat their lunch.
Yes. Now, let me ask you.
But if the FDA has approved it, there's less legal risk.
And Michael, hang on. I mean, participate here with us, Michael, for a minute, but I got to ask. So if I get tested and I have the antibody.
Yeah.
Will it really keep me from getting it?
Well, nobody knows for sure. We know that it will lower your risk. And if you do get sick, you'll probably get a lot less sick. That's the same thing with the flu vaccines and diphtheria vaccines and so on. They're not 100%. Okay. Antibodies give you some degree of protection. And some people get great protection from them, and some people get so-so protection. And a small subset doesn't seem to help.
And you'll miss the next mutation.
Right. So, you know, this is, but when the FDA approves some of these, I'm going to then call them all and say, what do you charge? And if I get one that can give us a decent price for our people, we will start checking any of our patients who want to be checked by an FDA approved group.
Rather than
somebody that's got only their own validation. So that's my holdup right now. But yeah, I'm hoping a week from now, maybe 10 days, we'll be able to start running those tests. I want it. My wife wants it. I want it on my daughter.
Well, yeah, we want to know so if we can get back into society.
Right. And you know, the French study that I talked about is interesting because that's a big population of a European country. But I want U.S. blood banks to start checking. But see, they won't because they don't want to trust a individual lab's internal validation. They want the FDA to have said this is a good test, and then you can start using it. Blood banks are very conservative. They don't take chances. They don't want to get sued. So as soon as the FDA approves it, I bet that several American blood banks will start checking all the donated blood, and we'll get a better idea of what percentage of our population is either immune or at least resistant to reinfection.
Interesting.
Okay, Michael, I've done my part.
let me just point out here, I want to ask a question, because earlier today I got texted and with a question that I should ask Dr. Gilbert if he calls in or what have you. And here it is. Actually, there was two from this person. It said, can I safely wear my contact lenses during the pandemic? I guess that's a valid question.
I've been asked that a number of times this week, and the best answer is not to wear contacts. First of all, wearing your glasses gives you a layer of protection against aerosols that might carry the virus. And you're also, with your glasses, you're a little less likely to touch your eyes. But we know that touching in and around your eyes, rubbing your eyes, you can transmit that virus to the conjunctiva, to the moist mucous membranes of the eye. And so by putting in and taking out your contacts, and folks tend to touch their eyes a little more with the contacts in, you're more definitely more likely to, just by the manipulation, to be touching your eye and transmit something that might be on your finger. So best okay. during the most concerning period to just wear glasses if you can. If not, obviously all the hand-washing cautions magnified a little bit are the best. It might also be a good time to think about having LASIK when it's safer, so you're not dependent on those contacts for next season.
Oh, well, that's
a good idea.
That is a good point. This person
on your bucket list when the world is safe again.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Well, okay, good. It was already on my bucket list, and I'm good. Okay. The other question, the same person who texted me said, I am in the risk group. So I'm assuming that means they're older with issues.
They're old or fat or diabetic or immunosuppressed
right.
in some way.
They didn't say, but risk group. But having some flashing lights and floaters, should I call an eye doctor, and is it safe to be seen?
Well, first, all of us have some floaters. So if you're just noticing floaters that you've seen before, there's no big change, then I think that can be checked out just at the next routine. However, if you're having flashes of light and new floaters, that has the potential of being related to a retinal tear or detachment, which can get worse and which can actually permanently threaten your vision. So it would be a good idea to at least talk directly to an eye doctor to get the exact symptoms, what exactly you're seeing. Most likely, that's something that should be seen, even if it's just a mild increase. Bright flashes of light typically are the moment when the retina is being pulled on. Just that mechanical trauma causes a flash of light. And then the new floaters are the cells that have been released as that gel inside the eye is pulled away from the retina. So all of those changes can be associated with retinal tears or detachments, possibly lead to permanent change in vision. And so that would be likely worth being seen in someone who can determine the house that's safe, make sure that something doesn't need to be treated.
Okay.
And for urgent patients, much as the longevity clinics, we have a lot of precautions for both the patient and the staff to make sure that it's safe to be seen. So stay home unless there's reason, but I would say having new flashes and floaters for the long-term protection of your vision is a reason to be seen.
And it's not therefore considered elective, and you can see them right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Correct? Okay, that's good. I just wanted to make double sure people are concerned. So, boy, I'm glad I caught you this morning because, like I said, we had these questions. Dr. Michael Gilbert at Northwest Vision Institute, yes, he can see you. And the phone number to make an appointment is 425-450-2020. That's 425-450-2020. And there you go. Michael, I'm glad you called in. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for all your good work. Love
all
listening
right.
in the morning.
All right. Hey, and as long as you're listening, because I know you often work out, I'm assuming you're doing that at home now and not the club. And rowing at home. Good for you. Call in whenever it's appropriate when there's eye questions that we can't answer. So thanks, Michael. Talk
Perfect.
To you soon.
Thank you much.
All right.
Now, you said rowing at home. You know, he could be out rowing on the lake.
Not in California.
Is he in California?
No.
Okay.
No,
well, he's here.
No, but not in California.
Well, no.
Is that crazy or what?
Yeah, but that's California. Yeah. I don't worry about.
I have a number of friends. I golf, obviously. Thanks to Dr. Dan Nelson, I can golf again, but I can't. And that is, to me, downright stupid.
Yes.
But that's just the way it is.
But you know, when you go to the parks, because I golf courses maybe are different. The public parks, at least over here on the east side, they have signs up to say, you know, keep your safe distances when you're walking and playing in the park.
Yeah.
And so the people can go to the parks and they can go to the trails and they can get their exercise. They just have to stay 6 feet from other human beings, except, of course, your family. If you're sharing a house and a bed, you should be able to hold hands while you walk and stay 6 feet from other people. But, yeah, it's there's no need that we all have to stay in the house. What we have to do is stay apart.
Yeah, up at our park, by our home, they have roped off the play area.
Yeah, yeah.
With the jungle gym.
Because the little kids, when they're on the swings in the jungle gyms, they're all over each other.
Yeah, right.
Sure.
So, but the park's open. There's walking around.
The skateboards areas are open. And, you know, my little daughter gets out there with her scooter and is learning to do tricks in the skateboard area. And so...
Let's take another call. Let's go to Issaquah, talk to Ron.
Hello, Ron.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
A really kind of a strange off-the-wall question. Back in 1957, the Asian flu epidemic, I had it, and I was in a coma for about 4 days. I was at Marquette University back then.
Okay.
Anyway, I have never had flu of any sort since then, none. I've had colds and stuff, but not flu. My question is, I know it's, I've done a little research, it was an H2N2. Is it possible that that thing could have provided some kind of immunity for what we've got flying around out there now?
Yes, it is possible. You know, it's not something that would happen often enough. But there is right now research that's very promising for what they're referring to as a universal influenza vaccine. Generally... The virus surface has markers on it that you make the vaccine to attack those particular markers. The problem is that as the virus mutates, and these RNA viruses mutate rapidly, the vaccine we make for this year's virus may not hit much of next year's virus. So you have to kind of guess what do you think is coming down. But we've now found there are some areas of the virus coat that are conserved between mutations. In other words, even when the virus mutates, these sections don't change. And what they're doing is identifying the areas that have a low probability of changing from mutation to mutation and making vaccines to attack those areas specifically. And if they are successful, and they claim that they are, that the early tests are very hopeful, we will probably, within the next year or two, have a vaccine that covers all known versions of the influenza virus. It would be possible for your immune system to, in the process of recovering from your serious illness, to have covered a wide spectrum of markers or even one of those conserved markers that you make antibodies to. So, yeah, is it possible? Yes. Do I know it happened? No.
So, I don't want to take a chance on that either, actually.
Right.
I was just wondering, because so many of the nursing homes, I've followed some of these, and you'll get a number of patients that get seriously ill, a number of them died, but there's always some in that group
they
that
survive.
Don't get ill at all.
Yes, there are.
It makes me wonder, is there something from their background, that doesn't have to be Asian flu, but... We've had a number of other pandemics flying around since that time also.
You know, there is enormous variation in human beings. And, you know, no two people are exactly the same. But we do seem to fall into groups. And there are people that have just wonderful immune response to a wide variety of viruses. And, you know, those are the ones that don't get sick or they get mildly sick and recover nicely. So, yeah.
Thanks for the call, Ron. Appreciate it. You know, it makes me think, my mother-in-law, she's gone now, but in her 20s and 30s ran a nursery or a preschool in her home.
And she got exposed to every bug on the planet.
For about 20 years.
Yeah.
And she bragged, and we never knew her for like the next 40 years. Got sick.
Yes. Yes, it can. And
last that long?
But again, we don't know how long they're going to last.
Yeah, okay.
You know, that's why your tetanus shot says every 10 years. Because the best guesstimate is that for most people, or at least a significant portion of the population, yeah, the immunity from your tetanus shot will start decreasing after, you know, so that by 10 years you should get a new shot. That doesn't mean everybody does. I mean, some people are probably immune for a lifetime, others for 20 or 30, and some, the immunity may only last 5 or 6 years. Again, it's the individual variation. When we make these rules, we're making the rules for what most people will benefit by, not everybody.
Okay. Now back to the antibody test.
Yeah.
You say you can order it.
I can order one today, but it will be from a lab that has done their internal validations, but the FDA has not double-checked them yet.
Okay, but assuming that...
If you wait a week or 10 days, I should be able to order the test from several different labs, take my choice, and that'll be made based on convenience and cost.
So they have... People will come into the clinic, we grab their blood...
Right.
And ship it off in ice, or how do you...
Well, it depends on what the lab wants.
Okay.
And, excuse me, I'm a little phlegmy. One of the labs is LabCorp.
Yeah.
And LabCorp has these very great high throughput machines. I mean, they can run, you know, 50,000 tests a day.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. On each of their machines.
Hmm.
So, if LabCorp gets approved, and since LabCorp manages our lab,
Our lab, but LabCorp manages.
We own it, we pay the bills, I bought the equipment, but I pay LabCorp to manage it. So
right.
They have their professional managers run it for me. So if LabCorp can do them, we already have the relationship. So we'll probably have it done by LabCorp, assuming they're in that first group that gets approved.
And probably done pretty quickly, right?
Probably, yeah. Well, you know, it's just a matter of, I mean, the machine takes like 3 hours to run 90 samples or something like that. But we have to get it from us
to them. Right.
Then it gets in their queue and then it gets run and then they'll report it to us. So it may be 2 or 3 days.
But still,
nevertheless,
man, I can hardly wait.
I want mine done.
Oh my golly, yes. It would just be nice to know that we could not be quite so, distant.
Well, let me tell you another interesting coronavirus tale here that I think is fascinating.
Well, I think I better hold off here because in less than 2 minutes, we've got to go to
top
of the hour.
What is this thing about breaks and making money and staying
it's
on the air?
It's not making
sort of
money
stuff
for us. We have to do, the FCC said we have to do a top of the hour ID.
All right.
Which means in about 90 seconds, the music will start.
Okay,
and,
I'll hold off. But I'm going to tell you how the Asian countries with the densest population on Earth have among the lowest coronavirus testing, and their subways are open, and their restaurants are open, and they're not social distancing like we are, and they haven't shut down their economy, but they're not getting coronavirus.
We have to know the answer.
I'll tell you that right after this break.
All right, and let me just tell you, if you would like one of our free health analysis appointments, if you want to start the process of getting stronger, leaner, faster, smarter, and sexier, and by the way, living longer too, which we'll talk about later, make a free health analysis appointment. For goodness sake, get the 2 free tests, and if you come in April, you'll also get $100 worth of longevity supplements. We've never done this before. We're doing it in April.
I do want to point out, though, that when people come in, our patients will be able to test their immune status. We are not running immune testing for the whole state of Washington.
That's right.
Only our patients.
Yes. I bet we might even figure out a way to do that for the health analysis appointments. We'll talk about
maybe
that. We'll be right back.